Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my co-host and good friend, NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts. As we've got the 4th of July coming up around the corner, we decided we'd take a break from summer scouting and we would do a fun exercise giving you an ultimate team. We're each going to be drafting one for the biggest busts since 2010. So we're going to go back and forth. Snake draft? Are we doing a snake draft or are we just going to go back and forth picks? Let's do back and forth picks.
Man, I like snake drafts a lot better, John.
All right,
like snake fine. Big snake draft guy, man. Big
fine.
Snake
draft. We'll do the snake draft just to appease Ryan, but we're going to be going back and forth here, trying to put together the biggest teams worth of busts, talking a little bit about why these guys were busts and maybe what went wrong. Ryan, I'm going to start us off here.
Okay.
As I always do. I get to go first, and then you get the back-to-back pick.
Go do
it. So I thought about this. And I needed to win at this position group because I think the worst possible option is heads above any other position group. Trent Richardson, 3rd overall pick to the Cleveland Browns. This one goes without saying. He has the 1 year, his rookie year, where he rushes for like 900 yards. And still, for whatever reason, I think that the general public was optimistic that this was going to work out. People were like, oh, wow. He's going to turn into the Heisman Trophy winning guy that he was at Alabama. Even though 900 yards isn't really that impressive as a rookie, he goes on to be traded to the Indianapolis Colts. And then it was just a litany of clips of him running into the backs of offensive linemen with wide open rushing lanes. And things just never really came to fruition. I would argue that he was one of the earliest signs of, hey, don't draft a running back this early. So Trent Richardson is going to be my guy, my first pick here in my running back.
Do you remember when he was on the Raiders? I think the Raiders were probably his last team, where literally there was like an inside zone and backside.
It was in preseason.
There was like a three lane.
That was the exact play I was thinking of.
It was absolutely incredible and insane. He would have been the number one running back for me, Joe. I don't know though, man. There's another running back that I actually had down on my list that I'm okay with. I actually am okay with it. But I would like to say this too. As you're listening along to this podcast, and I hope that you agree to do this, Joe, no revisionist history here, okay? Because I, for one, will say in our analysis, I actually really like Trent Richardson coming out of Alabama. I really did. So I'm not going to
say that. That was too early for me analysis wise. Right. That was in middle school. I'm not going to pretend I had a scouting report on him.
All I'm saying is I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I knew Trent Richardson was going to be a bust. Damn liar. You're a damn liar. No, that was not what happened. But
all right, your first two picks here?
First two picks. This one, I need to go here. This one's going to be one that is not going to oh, man, that's a great pick. But when you look at the depth of this class as far as true busts in the first round, I think it's going to make a lot more sense. Calvin Pryor, safety, Louisville, top 20 pick by the New York Jets, Joe. I was looking at Calvin Pryor's past history as a player. And my lord, sir, because I remember him coming out of Louisville, and he was not perceived as like a surefire first round pick. And then the Jets ended up drafting him. I'm pretty sure I remember that correctly. Yeah, number 18th overall, Joe. 18th overall. He was bad. He was off the Jets in 3 years. And for context here, rookie contracts are 4 year with a 5th year option, and he only lasted 3 years with the New York Jets. They cut him after 3 years. He's like, "You stink, sir." So Calvin Pryor, number one out of Louisville, number two.
Quick to chime in there. So Pryor is
awful.
That's a really fun one because like there's a couple of guys that we're gonna probably get to that either were overdrafted by an aggressive GM or just were drafted in a whole round earlier than I think everyone expected. And Pryor's a really good one. I didn't have him written down, so I'm glad he didn't steal my second, my option that I'm going to go with later that I think is a really, really good secondary one. But holy crap, he was in and out of the league so quickly. And was he a guy that was like an a-hole or something that was did some bad stuff?
Nah,
so
man. He just couldn't play. He just couldn't play. I mean,
that's
fun.
That's good.
Just couldn't play. I'm going to go to – oh, man, this is actually fun. This is actually a difficult one. So if you look at first-round draft picks at tight end since 2010, not like an awful list, man. It's really not. It's actually pretty good. Hockenson and obviously Brock Bowers recently, we don't know how good he's going to be. But, like, it's not like an awful first-round pick. There was one that I kind of debate with this one, but when I think of how a guy was perceived at the time coming out of school and then what his next steps were as a player, I think O.J. Howard was a massive bust, man. Massive bust. Joe, I remember watching him in the one championship game where he had like two like 80-yard touchdowns in one game. I think it was against Clemson, and he was billed as like this crazy athlete. I think he ran like 4.4 something or 4.5, and he ended up in his career 129 receptions. Joe, he hasn't had a season above. Actually, he's out of the league now. His last year in the NFL was 2022, so he lasted six years in the NFL. But his last 3 years in the league, the best season he had was 14 catches for 135 yards. So if we're talking about a kid that was a bona fide 6'6", 251 pounds, 4'5", athlete, top 20 overall selection in 2017 draft, O.J. Howard, massive bust on a list that is actually not that big of busts at tight end. It's not a bad list.
Yeah, tight end was actually probably the hardest position. And I have a secondary option that I don't love.
Okay.
But Hayden Howard Hurst. Was like this.
Is it Hayden Hurst? Is it Hayden Hurst?
No, it's somebody that's going to hit a little close to home for us. I think that Howard, you nailed on the head, because not only was he a guy who he has the Achilles injury that like really shortened his career. He's done. He's out of the league now. He never recovered. He was never the same. So he's completely gone. That was the immediate thing that I thought of his career was aggressively shortened, and Joku's still around, and he's pretty good tight end for the Browns right now.
Joku's good, yeah.
I don't think he lived up to the hype of being like this otherworldly athlete that was going to be a seam breaker and just hard to keep up with. But you really explained how O.J. Howard almost had this Brock Bowers type hype of this is going to be a unique, unbelievable player that the NFL has never seen before. And that was really before we started this. Not before we started to see twitchy, crazy athletes at tight end, but he was almost the first wave of the Kyle Pitts, Dalton Kincaid, Brock Bowers guys that were supposed to change the NFL, and he didn't really do it.
People used to get mad watching O.J. Howard because they would always say in college, like, why are they throwing the ball more, right? And there were people that were legitimately arguing that he should be a top 10 pick in that draft, and he ends up going a little lower than that, but he still ends up being a top 20 pick. And he certainly did not turn out, to say the least.
All right, I'm going to write down. I've got to write down Howard for you right here. All right. This one I think I have to get to because the rest of these position groups, I have good secondary options that I won't feel too upset about. But surprisingly, defensive line. We decided we're doing defensive tackle and edge?
Yes, interior and edge, yep.
Defensive tackle is a position group that actually doesn't have a ton of, wow, this is a huge bust options. It doesn't. Surprisingly, the NFL, the times that they've taken guys early, they've worked out to some degree. Like the one that came to mind was like Danny Shelton. That's a one that comes. That's not who I'm picking.
Yeah.
But right, he's carved a role.
Yeah.
But this one guy, I think, is a two factor because he was a former top recruit, and then not only was a top recruit, but he was a huge. He was a huge jackass off the field. Huge mess up off the field where he fell out of a hotel window. Somehow didn't like severely hurt himself. But fell out of
he
a
wasn't
hotel.
Hurt at all. There was like no scratch on him. He's a superhero, basically.
Maybe that was why he was stock up after this. And then after the fact was just deemed extremely lazy, didn't care. And the type of guy apparently just consistently rested on the laurels of being the greatest athlete in his class. And I'm talking about Robert Condici, who was the 29th pick in 2016. This is a slam dunk. He hasn't stuck. I don't even know if he's still on a roster right now, but man, he didn't do anything. He really provided zero impact. He was one of these guys, and we're talking about revisionist history. I did not have scouting reports in 2016. This was my first year of college. But I do remember thinking, man, Arizona got a steal. I always fell in the lap of if the kid was highly recruited and he went in the first round, he was going to find a way to succeed. And I was rooting for him.
And he was only like the 29th pick or something like that. Like he wasn't super high either. So it was like,
I think that's a good one. That even though he was the 29th pick, I think that's a really good one because he was supposed to be so good and he just sucked in the pre-draft process, sucked in his final, didn't suck, but wasn't really great his final year at Ole Miss and then just completely tailed off.
He is, and he was on my list of defensive linemen because he is, I remember the hype of him coming out of high school, man. And even testing wise, that kid was a freak of nature, dude.
Yeah.
He just, that is the differentiator between guys making it not though, Joe, because he did not give a you know what about football, dude. Like he just didn't care. He was just bigger, stronger, more athletic than everybody he had played against up until that point. And that eventually caught up to him when he clearly didn't care about football much.
All right, I've got a back-to-back pick here. So this opens me up to just kind of throw a heater out there for somebody who I think is just the biggest bust. I'm having some deliberation with my front office in my head for two guys. I'm going to go with Luke Jokel for my offensive lineman with the Jacksonville Jaguars because he was him and Eric Fisher the year that he was picked in 2012.
Was bad draft, by the way.
Very bad draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad enough that an offensive lineman was worthy of going first overall, but it was a year where both of these guys, the whole process, were talked up as one of them, actually both of them could be franchise savers, and Jokel especially was painted as this player who SEC built was supposed to just be like a true, true left tackle that was going to be unbelievably dominant and important for the Jaguars' success. And not only didn't he live up to that, but he was like well below average. He just was not good. He is a really good example of a player who I think was massive expectations, massive hype at offensive line, and just did not pan out.
Yeah. He actually was not one of the two offensive tackles I had listed for this.
Really?
Which is kind of fun. Yeah, dude. I think there's one that hits home for my fandom especially, but then there's another one where... But I'm actually having an eternal debate, Joe, because I was hoping that you would pick one of them because there is a great debate in my mind which offensive tackle...
The other
tackle.
One was my second... Wait, so are you not doing Alex Leatherwood?
I'm not doing Alex Leatherwood, actually.
I would have thought you had a spite would have done Alex Leatherwood. I would have thought that would have been your
I actually your do guy. Not have Alex Leatherwood. I have I'll talk about it when I get there and I'll tell you which one I designated. All right, this one was a huge debate for me as well because there's been some wide receiver busts, Joe. There's been some wide receiver busts, okay?
Understatement there.
But I chose the one Philadelphia Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. That's the one I went with. Jalen Reagor, Joe.
Him.
You didn't have – dude, Jalen Reagor – was
no, I'm saying you can have him. I think it's a viable pick, but I like my other options.
I think when you bring in the context of everything that happened in that draft, because when I look at Jalen Reagor's career, in the 4 years he's been in the NFL, 4 years, which is, by the way, has been now with 2 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, they cut him after 2 years. Okay? They cut him after 2 years, played with the Minnesota Vikings, and now played with the New England Patriots last year, apparently. Joe, in 4 years... After being the number 23, I think, right? No, number 21 overall selection, he has 79 catches for 937 yards and 4 touchdowns in 4 years. which is a little over 200 yards receiving a year. And by the way, guys, he was picked before Justin Jefferson. Like, dude, that was such an awful pick. And again, revisionist history aside for a second, I didn't dislike Jalen Reagor as a player. I would have drafted Justin Jefferson over him. That is a fact. But I didn't actually hate the selection in a vacuum when it was picked. But man, he was awful. He's been a terrible football player in the NFL.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Did you remember his COVID pro day?
Yes.
Do you remember the whole COVID? He was the, I think he was the
peak. Where he gained a bunch of weight and it was just kind of weird.
No, but didn't they test him at like a 4-1 or something insane like that? And everyone was, I might be mixing him up with somebody else, but there he, I believe he had some insane 40 time that they clocked him at. And everybody was saying like, okay, now all these COVID pro day numbers are clearly BS. But he ran not a 4-1. It was like a 4, it was like a really low 4-2. Yeah. It was something that
was
astronomical. Yeah, but not. Not that fast, but that he was the epitome of just like the COVID situation and the COVID season being
two things
crazy.
I want to say. Two things I want to say. At the end, we need like a minute to just rattle off some other names, right? Some honorable mention picks. It's not going to be a part of our list, okay? Number two, Jalen Reagor this past year for the New England Patriots. Joe, how good are the New England Patriot wide receivers, by the way?
Terrible.
He had 138 yards this year for the New England Patriots. Really bad.
You got Tyquan Thornton, man. Don't doubt.
Bad football player, man. Really bad.
All right, who's your next pick?
Oh, I wasn't ready for the back-to-back. Quarterback is an internal debate for me, okay? Uh-oh. Quarterback is an internal debate. I am actually, because I imagine that we're going to have the fans vote for this at some point, right? I'm sure that's going to be on the docket for me. So I'm going to go with the more fan favorite here of just volatility and rage. That is Johnny Manziel, quarterback from Texas A&M to the Cleveland Browns. Joe, not only did he flame out after 2 years, he went to the CFL and sucked. Then he went to the Fan Control Football League and was like just a guy. And then he ended up, I think, in one of the alternative leagues and was also not good. So like ultimate flame out, awful, awful career, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football, Cleveland Browns.
My only thing with Johnny Manziel, why he wasn't on my list, I just kind of always perceived him, and I think a good amount of people just perceived him as such a slappy that like most didn't think that it would work, and it was really gimmicky.
The context, though, is the Dallas Cowboys almost drafted him over Zach Martin a few picks before that, man. It's so bad, dude. It's just a really bad story.
That would have been insane if that happened. Okay, so now I'm back up on the board with back-to-backs left. The only position groups that haven't been picked appear to be edge, linebacker, and corner. So I'm going to start off with a linebacker. This one's not a super...
Don't pick my guy, dude. I have a guy for this one. Don't pick
him. Yeah, I know. I think I might know who... Man, this might be a bad pick. I'm going to go with Jerod Davis, 21st pick in 2017.
God. Oh, really? That was your guy?
That was my guy, dude. Yeah, shouldn't have been picked where he was in the first place. Yes. Just, I think that's the simplest way to put it. Should not have been picked as early as he was in 2017. He was really not on the radar of being a first-rounder. I think to be a first-round prospect at linebacker, you need to be super twitched up. And not only that, he was pretty undersized at 6'1". Man, his career, he's out of the league already. He's totaled in his career 226 tackles in 7 years. Like, that is just 20 TFLs. Just so underwhelming. I don't remember enough of his pre-draft process because, again, I some of these guys, I wasn't really covering them. Yeah. But, like, what was the hype on him? You'd be able to provide me a little bit more.
He was the super athlete, super explosive dude, but he is one of the guys that I always refer to when talking about bad linebacker eyes because he did not see the game at all, dude. Just awful, awful recognition. He, you know how you talk about Trent Richardson and not being able to have field vision and not finding gaps? That's Gerard Davis, but on the defensive side of the football, dude. Like, he has no idea what he's looking at. And Florida used to just blitz him, and they would never ask him to read and react. They would never ask him playing coverage. And lo and behold, it didn't get any better in the NFL when things get faster. Like, who would have thought?
My edge that I'm going to go with, this one's easy. Cleveland Farrell, fourth overall, 2019. Because I think this is just the perfect recipe for talking about a guy who shouldn't have been picked where he was. And it was the beginning of Mike Mayock's downfall. And I've got another guy that I'm going to end up selecting in a second here. But he was deemed to be a mid to late first rounder, probably more late, early second round. Not super bendy guy, big athlete, was productive at Clemson, and was kind of just picked because of the helmet that he wore. Only totaled 13 and a half sacks so far in his career. He's on the Washington Commanders, and he might get some room for redemption, but holy hell did he not live up to that fourth overall pick expectations. But this is one of those rare ones where I think everyone knew it wasn't going to work, and everyone was like, wow, that was really an overreach, and it fits that definition of massive reach that did not play out.
Everyone knew that he would not have ever lived up to the fourth overall pick expectations. Yeah. But to make it even worse, which is why it's a great pick by you, is that he ended up also just not being good at all, right? So, like, I thought he was going to be okay, right? Like, I thought he was going to be a solid contributor. He ended up not even being a solid contributor. Like, he's just a
yeah, he was barely player. Starting towards the end there. He was barely on the field.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick, I would say. Did you get back-to-back there? I took
Davis and then Farrell. So, you've got back-to-back. The only position group that hasn't been taken is...
Corner. Dude, there's so many good corners as far as busts. Like, it's crazy, dude. I literally have five guys written down, and I don't really know who to go with because I think there's validity to all of them, I think. I think I know who you're talking about with the Mayock thing, but like
it's a safety that I'm going to go with.
Oh, I know who it is then. I definitely know who it is.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Justin Gilbert. I know I'm picking on the Cleveland Browns a little bit, but I'll go with Justin Gilbert, who was a first round pick, top 10 overall selection out of Oklahoma State back in the day. A kid that, if you want to talk about pre-draft buzz, Joe, I don't remember anybody thinking that Justin Gilbert was going to be a first-round pick, but then he went to the combine and he ran like 4.3-something and he tested out of his mind. He, in his entire career, which only lasted three seasons, by the way, his entire career, two with the Cleveland Browns, one with the Pittsburgh Steelers, only started three football games in his entire career.
Oh, I didn't remember him being that bad.
Three games, one interception in 3 years, 8-9 pass breakups. That's all he did after being a 10th overall selection. Yes, Justin Gilbert was quite bad, sir. Quite bad football player.
Hilariously terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my – I'm just – oh, go ahead. What was your
final point? No, you go. Say what you want to say.
I'm going to rip through just the rest of my position groups here. Quarterback to start. I think the banger in the last 10 years, if we go to the history of quarterbacks, it's one of the worst drafted positions.
Don't say Zach
Wilson. No, I'm going with Mitch Trubisky because –
Mitch Trubisky had one good year, though. He had one good year.
No. He did. Trubisky has been hilariously terrible every year that he's played and everywhere he's gone.
The Chicago Bears in 2018
had a good year. He had 3,000 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions on 66% completion percentage. That's perfectly average. He was fine that year.
And some of these guys some of these guys.
Trubisky sucks.
Who said he was good? I didn't say he was good.
Okay.
My point is that there are quarterbacks that are much worse than Mitch Trubisky. How about Brandon Weeden? That was the other guy I was going to put up.
He was a 28th overall pick. Joe. This was the second overall. Okay, this is my point. He was the second overall pick. He was supposed, he was deemed to be some sort of solution in Chicago. Didn't really get a lot of runway. He tweeted he loved kissing titties. That was the other thing that happened with him. My thing with him is second overall pick and never was able to really get over that hump of like just being slightly below average. He was always slightly below average. But I think to this point now where a lot of these other guys that were early picks had redemption opportunities, and they at least somewhat proved themselves. Sam Darnold, redemption opportunity. Prove that he can at least be a good, can at least be a good backup. And he's getting a chance to start in Minnesota. Who would have thought that he would have gotten that chance? Baker Mayfield, he is getting it. He had a legit redemption opportunity with the Bucs, and he took it aggressively, and he has performed very well. He has had multiple redemption opportunities with the Bills to be a backup with the Steelers, and he has sucked so bad in those situations, he's gotten pushed out the door.
Joe, that's a
he's
bad terrible. Pick. Dude. It's a bad pick? I don't know what
you want to say. It's not a bad pick. Mitch Trubisky is god awful. Is he even on a team right now?
Yeah, he's a backup in like Buffalo.
Oh, he's in the Bills.
Dude, it's an awful pick. Joe, I'm sorry. It's a really bad pick.
That is a great damn pick.
Bad pick.
That is a great damn pick.
It's a bad pick. It's a bad pick. I mean, dude, he's much better than Brandon Weeden. Like, he's much better. The Cleveland Browns. Yeah,
Brandon Weeden was a 28th overall pick, so it's like.
Joe, the Cleveland Browns drafted a 28-year-old quarterback in the first round. That is worse, dude. Like, that's just
a bad pick, obviously. That's obviously a bad pick, but that was so late in the draft where it's like basically taking an early second rounder on a guy to see if maybe he could be a starter.
Keep going. Are you
second
still going?
Overall pick?
Are you still going, or are we going back and forth?
My
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
So, yeah, I'm done yelling. My second one, I'm going to go with my wide receiver. Yeah. I thought about this. I think we could have gone. I could have gone Justin Blackmon, who
that was who I was going to say. I was going to go Blackmon, but dude, Blackmon is my biggest what if at wide receiver in my evaluation career, because that kid, I'm telling you, man, if he gave a rip about football in any way, he would have been a superstar. 100% would have been a superstar.
Yeah.
Dude, he showed a lot of promise as a rookie for Jacksonville despite not practicing and not caring about football. But then he just went off.
You talked me into it. I'm going with Justin Blackmon. I was going to go Michael Floyd, but I re-pulled up Michael Floyd's stats.
Michael Floyd had a good year. He had a good year.
Yeah, he had that one good year his second year, and then he was like a decent like tertiary fourth guy in Arizona.
Another guy that off the field killed his career off the field stuff.
The other option that I don't think is talked about enough, and I was debating going in this direction. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, Kevin White's another really easy one.
Kevin White would have been a good one.
Dog-ass.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin's not talked about enough as being a bust because we have to acknowledge he was one of the greatest college wide receivers ever.
Sure.
Greatest
and eighth
tape.
Overall selection.
Right.
Eighth overall selection too.
Very early pick. And I wouldn't take him in this scenario because I just think that Blackman or Kevin White would have been the better option because they really failed because Tavon Austin had a little juice in some spots. But man, for what he was painted to be as this game-breaking, game-changing, dynamic playmaker, and all he really was just an occasional gadget guy. He was Cordarrelle Patterson, but at like a crappier level. Like that was that was the extent that he went lived up to. So that one was one that I had listed just to kind of throw that into the mix.
That's a very good honorable mention. That's a very good honorable mention. I respect that one. I respect that one a lot. Do you have any more? Oh, I'm up now.
No, I did my back-to-back, so you go now.
Oh, okay. We're just going back-to-backs now. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Joe, this one haunts me. I was thinking about going Isaiah Wilson at offensive line because he ended up playing like 3 snaps in his Tennessee Titan career.
Oh, you can do better than that.
Yeah. I am. Let me tell you about a sad story in the 2014 NFL draft when the Houston Texans drafted Jadeveon Clowney with the number one overall selection, okay? And the then St. Louis Rams came up to pick, Joe. And with players like Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., and Aaron Donald on the board, even though they ended up taking Aaron Donald with the second pick, they drafted a young offensive tackle out of Auburn named Greg Robinson.
R.I.P.
Number
He's not
two.
Dead. He's not dead. He's not dead.
He's not dead. His career was dead pretty quick, though, man. He started 3 years for the Rams, and they cut him as the number two overall selection. Ended up playing for the Detroit Lions, Cleveland Browns, the number two overall selection when there were a host of guys that are probably going to make the Hall of Fame. And Khalil Mack and Mike Evans and Aaron Donald, who ended up being the second first round pick by the St. Louis Rams at that point. Greg Robinson still haunts my dreams because he was an awful, awful player for the Rams, man. Oh my God, Greg Robinson was so bad.
That's an easy one, man. He was he's in line with Jokel for how man yes. The crazy thing with him is he was such a good athlete, and he just
he was explosive as heck. Yeah, so he was one. Isaiah Wilson was the other offensive lineman on my list because, again, three snaps.
Not great.
Three snaps in the NFL. It's wild, dude. Like, 3 snaps in the NFL.
That is
wild.
Crazy that he's barely That's played.
Crazy to think about. He literally got kicked off of the Tennessee Titans, showed up to the Dolphins, and apparently the Dolphins, he like did something right off the bat, a team violation, and got cut again, dude. Like, just awful, awful.
I mixed Isaiah Wilson with Isaiah Wynn in my head. I don't know why.
Yes. Oh, no, Isaiah Wilson was the one for the Tennessee Titans out of Georgia.
Wynn also could have fit in there, though.
Wynn was okay, though. He was okay. Next guy.
Here's your next one.
Next guy. Defensive line, I think that you made a good selection, but I'm going to go with Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina, who, if you remember that cycle, dude, people were like, that kid's a top 10 player, like all this stuff. Javon Kinlaw ended up being an absolute bust for San Francisco, and I'm pretty sure he's on like the Jets or something now, dude, and it's like a backup. Like, he just, Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman.
Yeah, that's my whole point, is that there were not a lot of really good options to go with at defensive tackle, surprisingly, because for some reason the NFL finds ways to recycle and reuse these guys if they don't work out as like an every down player. So most of these guys are going to find production. My tight end that I'm going to go with, you stole the only good option. So the only other secondary option that I can think of isn't a total bust, but a guy who had high expectations because he had a really productive college career, went late in the first round to the Cincinnati Bengals back in 2013.
And made a Pro Bowl, by the way.
Tyler Eifert was a player who really could have panned out to be a fantastic player, but injuries, one of the few instances where injuries just caught up to him and it didn't work out. Nothing with his personality, nothing with his work ethic. He just kept getting injured. He did have the 1 year where he had 13 touchdowns.
I'm pretty sure he led the NFL in receiving touchdowns that year, which is wild to think about. Like, wild.
He had decent production after, not decent, but like just really middling production. A lot of years where he just kept getting hurt, and he finished his career with 2,500 receiving yards and 26 touchdowns. Which, I mean, if I'm Tyler Eifert, I'm proud of that career for how long he played. But at the same time, he's the only other option in the last 10 years that fits that description of just being a bust. Didn't work out.
Yep. Yeah, he was a sad one. He was a little bit of a sad one because dude, you saw it, man. Like, the 1 year that he was really healthy in his career, he was a Pro Bowl tight end. And if you remember him in Notre Dame, man, he was special, dude. Like, that's one of those instances where, unfortunately, availability is a part of the whole equation, right? And that was a very sad one, to say the least. Yes.
Mo Claiborne is going to be my cornerback that I'm going with, who was the Jets pick back in 2012. And Cowboys. And then he played for the Jets. And he was just unbelievably just unspectacular for a guy who was picked as high as he was in the the top 15 of that draft. And his total career stats in the 8 years that he played, 213 tackles, 6 tackles for loss. Where's the interception stats here on Pro Football Reference? Why am I?
He had
7 interceptions. Yeah. That's disturbingly underwhelming for a cornerback. And he was supposed to be a freaky athlete. Like, he was supposed to be a guy that was going to be ridiculously shut down player. And it did not come to fruition.
He was good at LSU, man. And LSU has had a really good track record of putting out corners. Like, they really have, which is just kind of crazy. I had Mo Claiborne on there. I also had Gerrion Conley out of Ohio State, and I also had Jeff Okuda, unfortunately, who's just been kind of not good so far. So
I don't know if I'd maybe I'm being a little bit.
He's on a second team already.
I wouldn't call him like bust. I just think he's been really mediocre. You know, he's stuck enough that teams have been giving him chances. Actually, isn't he on his third team?
I don't know. At least second.
He got traded, and I think he's now on another team. Maybe I'm.
You're making my point more strong. You're solidifying my point right now. Yes, he's very bad player.
Well, he was supposed to be a slam dunk. That one's a disappointing one.
He was.
All right, your next few, and I think we're almost done.
Man, Edge was such a tough one for me, man. There's been some busts at Edge, dude. One, I wanted to put on, but I'm not going to. But Marcus Smith was out of Louisville. The Eagles drafted Marcus Smith in the first round.
He didn't do anything.
I think he had like 6 sacks in his entire career or something. I was so mad that you said 2010, because if we would have went back to like 2008 or 2009, I could have done Vernon Golston, who was a first round pick and never had a sack in the NFL, dude. Zero sacks in the NFL. Wild statistic. Marcus Smith was one. The other was Jarvis Jones, who was drafted out of Georgia by Pittsburgh in the top 20. I was thinking about him.
He kind of stuck around a little bit.
Dude, he stunk, Joe. Go look at his stats, dude. He was awful, Jarvis Jones.
What about
awful
our boy Taco, player. Man? What about the guy named Taco? Taco's an easy one. Taco would have been a
good one. But the one that I ended up, Jarvis Jones had 6 sacks in 4 years, by the way. 6 sacks in 4 years in the NFL. Pretty bad player. Here's my number one, though, Joe. My number one edge, and he would have been number one for me overall. Let me take you back to the 2013 NFL draft, where with the 3rd overall selection, the Miami Dolphins selected Deion Jordan out of Oregon. And in his 3 years in Miami, he had 3 sacks. And the most sacks he ever had in a season was 4. So 13.5 sacks in a 8-year career for a number 3 overall selection. That's not great. It's not great. It's not the best. I'm pretty sure. Let me make sure about this real quick. So he was the 3rd overall selection. I remember. Yes. So Miami Dolphins, who also needed offensive line help, Joe. That was the same year that Fisher and Jokel went back to back. Okay. Fisher, Jokel, then Jordan. Lane Johnson was the pick right after Deion Jordan as well. Lane Johnson was right after Deion Jordan. And the Dolphins needed offensive tackle help as well. So you look back at that, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, what? Why?
That one's an easy one. Again, terrible draft class that first
top 10 picks was awful, dude. Fisher, Jokel, Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson, great. Ezekiel Ansah, solid, good at times. Kiki Mingo. Remember Kiki Mingo out of LSU, Barkevious Mingo, outside linebacker. Yeah. Jonathan Cooper, bust. Tavon Austin, kind of a bust. D. Milner, bust. Chance Warmack, bust. That was the top 10, dude. All
could have just picked all
10.
from that one draft. Crazy. All right, so you have left.
Yes.
You need to give me a running back and a linebacker.
Running back, not as good as Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson was absolutely the number one pick for me. There was no doubt. But I will go with a player that I think has been in a great situation and has not been good and is already being replaced by like two different guys, including a former seventh round pick. Give me Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. Ooh. To the Kansas City Chiefs. That's my running back. And then
that one goes without saying almost. Because he had the one really good year and everyone was hyping him up and he's just been tertiary option.
Mediocre.
Rotational.
Yeah. Dude, he got replaced, and I know that Isaiah Pacheco is a good player, but a top 32 selection, I guess, right? A first round pick was replaced by a seventh round rookie out of Rutgers.
Hey, man, don't knock Rutgers.
Just saying, brother. Just saying, man. Not the best situation of all time. A linebacker, don't love this pick, but he's been very below average and not good in his career, and he literally just didn't pay up his fifth year option because he's been bad in LA. But I'll go with Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma.
I had a feeling you were going to do him.
Yeah, he's been bad, dude. He's been bad. His numbers actually don't look terrible on the cuff, but like if you actually do research on him, he's been a pretty bad football player, man. So I'll go with Kenneth Murray.
All right, I'm going to wrap us up with Jonathan Abram, who's my safety. Not a lot of guys were just picked. There's just not a lot of safety picks in the first round, so this one was tough, but wow, he has managed to play for a disturbing amount of teams in his career so far. He's been on the Raiders, the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Saints, and he's only been in the league since 2019. He's a totaled 293 tackles. He has had four interceptions, one forced fumble. He just hasn't really done 15 passes defense. He is the again, another example like Cleveland Farrell, where should have never been a first rounder. I don't think anyone expected this guy to even come close to the first round. And he went as early as he did. He is a box safety that if he got drafted by somebody else, probably could have stuck around a little bit as a rotational guy. But for him to go in the first round was pretty nuts because they think they saw him as this headhunter who was going to be a skull crusher, and none of that worked out.
Joe, the two funniest things ever. I remember there were people literally arguing, this kid, he's a warrior, dude. Doesn't matter if he can't cover. Like, he's a warrior. And then also, he was a penalty guy as well. So, like, he got so many penalties in Mississippi State, and people just chose not to care for whatever reason. Yes. That was my second option on safety. So
to recap us here,
yep,
Ryan, your team is Johnny Manziel at quarterback, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, Jalen Reagor at receiver, OJ Howard at tight end. Offensive line is Greg Robinson, defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, Deion Jordan edge rusher, Kenneth Murray linebacker, Justin Gilbert corner, and then Calvin Pryor safety. My team was Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, Trent Richardson at running back, Justin Blackmon at wide receiver, tight end Tyler Eifert, Luke Jokel at offensive line, Robert Kamdichie at defensive tackle, Cleveland Farrell at edge, Jerod Davis at linebacker, Mo Claiborne at corner, and Jonathan Abram at safety. Folks, let us know below in the comments what you think, who had the better bust team or anyone we missed. Hit the like button at Joe DeLeon at Rising Draft, and we will talk to you folks later.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.